Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we have our guest, George Nixon. And I believe we're going to be talking about the Mayan calendar.
Oh, good. That's George. He's right on the line, I think.
Yep. So we put George on. Good evening, George.
How you doing, folks?
Oh, we're just fine, George. How are you?
I have no complaints.
Oh, that's always good. You didn't get washed away in the deluge.
No, I tell you, we had some wicked rain up this way.
Yeah, the whole
last 24 hours.
Yeah, I think that storm is on the way out. I know many of our listeners probably live in other parts of the world and the country, but we're here in New England, and you're in upstate New York, and we experienced the same storm, and we needed the rain. But I understand that you wanted to talk about the Mayan calendar a little bit more tonight. We're at a significant time.
Yes. Well, I think in following the train of the Mayan sixth night, if we go back to the cycle before this, this takes us about 1989, and the events of 1989 will circulate, in the experiences we're going to have this year.
Now, George, what were some of the big events of 1989? I'm trying to remember and think.
Well, there was a few of them. I think Tiananmen Square was 1989.
Oh, okay.
You remember that?
Oh, I certainly do.
I think there was, there was over 100 people that were killed on that, and thousands were injured.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a big uprising, I think, in China.
That's correct.
When it came to computers, the first computer warrant was released. In fact, Apollo was indicted on that, called Robert Morris, and it was called the Morris Worm. So in 1989, the first computer worm was invented. Or put into practice.
But the internet wasn't available till what, 1990 or 91?
Mm-hmm. Well, he, I believe, worked for MIT or one of the colleges.
Right.
I'm not sure which school it was, but they had computers, and apparently he was possibly a computer writer. I'm not sure, a programmer.
Yeah.
Programmer. He's probably a programmer or something, huh?
Within the network. Sure. Right.
Well, in if nothing, it was the first case of a fraud against the computer. And it's funny. I hear now Facebook, the inventors of Facebook, they got multi-million dollars in their deal, $1 billion, I think, in selling it on the open market.
Yeah.
Oh no! What we're saying is, by making it public, you mean?
Yes, yes.
I went public. Well, actually, the original creators got screwed, Zuckerman stole the thing from them, and they just settled a couple of months ago in court for about $100 million each. And but Zuckerman himself
is sort of like Bill Gates.
He's worth $6 billion now since it went public, yeah.
Didn't he just donate $100 million to New Jersey School District?
No,
George, he didn't create Facebook himself. He stole it and ran with it. Just like he's a kind of a Bill Gates-type character.
Well, what he did is he stole it. he stole the thing from his roommates, okay?
Because they all did it together.
Yeah, well, actually, they actually invented it. It's I don't know if they were brothers or what they were, but they just settled in court a lawsuit where they got about $100 million each, all right?
Which was nothing.
And they're going back for more because they're saying that their invention, this guy made $6 billion off of it, okay, with untold numbers, amounts of money. It's now got over 500 million members online, okay? So it's like the thing is unbelievable. And
well, what's wrong with that, Leo?
What's wrong with making money? He stole it.
Well, no, what it was...
Oh. And you think these businesses are on the up and up? in the money that passed their hands? It's all an illusion. It's a matter of if you get caught or not.
What are you talking about, George? I lost you here on this. What?
They were the creators of this. It was their idea.
Yeah, it's like you know, if you steal somebody, like if somebody stole my book, all right,
and put their name on it.
Yeah, and put their name on it, and then sold it for millions of dollars. It's my freaking book. You know what I mean? And
that's right.
What these guys were doing. They invented the damn thing, and this guy stole it, patented the thing, all right, and then
went off with it.
Okay, even though they had invented it, all right, and that's why they're suing and they're going back because they weren't happy with the settlement.
But my question is, Leo, does it matter? I'm just saying that back in 1989, the first virus or worm was put in operation and it was caught. And it's just a negative shenanigans, you know, with this industry or in the computer world. I mean, there's a lot of fraud out there. And if nothing more, take a look at fraud now within the computer industry and look how what happened. You know, it wasn't a few dollars here and there. You know, we're talking billions of dollars, but still it was fraud. It was an illusion. Somebody tried to pull something over on somebody, but they got caught. But see, you know, take a look at the size of this. And, you know, it makes no difference what size or how big it is. You know, it happened.
Well, that's what we're saying. It happened, and it's wrong.
Well,
that's the point we were making.
Does it have to be wrong?
Well, you know, I think universally we agree that a few things are wrong. One is murder, and one is theft.
No, I agree with you, but I'm saying
there are a couple of things
matter.
That most people
it's
in
right
the world agree about, George. They're kind of like universal moral acceptances by 99% of the people in the world.
Unless the ones that did the stealing, then they don't see anything wrong. You know?
Well,
no, I'm not saying that it's not wrong. I'm saying, you know, it does exist and it does happen. So you can't negate it and say that, you know, it doesn't exist or it shouldn't exist. But
there,
it does.
There are wars and murderers fought over these things, okay, because they're so universally wrong, okay. So, no, I think there is wrong and there is right. And, I mean, you know, you being a Christian man, you have 10 commandments that you follow. You know what I mean? So, you know, these are the commandments.
Thou shalt not steal is one of them.
Thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife and thy neighbor's
so forth and so on.
And, you know.
Hey, right. But, you know, let's don't get carried away. You know, I'm just stating a comparison to what the sixth night is given to us. And it's a time where we switch and we change. And what happened back in 1989 is part of an eddy or an experience that we are experiencing. And we're now experiencing the same thing on a different level. And it's bumped up to a higher level.
Yeah, it's a notch at least.
Well, yeah, you know, another thing that happened in 1989 was the Berlin Wall was opened up.
Was that 1989?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was opened up to the east and west.
Right. So there was no longer in East Germany those walls came down.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was a big year for me. Because I did a lot of shifting on that year. But, you know, I want to follow through, I think, with the Mayans talk about now we're in a time where we will meet up with our galactic neighbor.
Yeah.
And, you know, it all falls into, I think, this UFO flap. And the understanding, are we going to accept the UFO or not? And
now,
this is one thing the American government hasn't, and the rest of the world has accepted this phenomena, and the Americans are one of the last to do it. But I think now is a time where, if nothing else, we will be introduced to, all planet cultures, and it's a matter of who has the ball and who's going to run with it.
Well, we can hardly get along here on this planet. What makes you think we're going to get along with anybody from someone else's planet?
I don't know. What do you think, Leo?
I think we'd have a very unexpected.
I don't know. I don't know what to expect from these alien creatures.
Well, we all got here from somewhere else, so we're probably all aliens.
Well,
my question is, have there been any recent sightings reported?
No, but I just wanted to say, I don't know if I... I mean, I know that there are good ones, and there might be some evil ones, or bad ones,
Or ones that don't have your best interest.
So,
you're going to have that anywhere you go, you know?
Yeah, but you know, and they don't have superpowers like
to eliminate your ass,
you know, from
we don't know what they'll have.
Or shapeshift and take over your body, or you know, become a pod. You know what I mean? Or
maybe we've watched too much science fiction.
Body snatchers, or
but you know, maybe you watch too much science fiction, but understand now what we think is manifesting before our eyes, and a lot of this illusionary understanding of aliens is now there's more to the more to the to its belief. You know, the alien thing, it's something new to our culture. In fact, you know, I'd never heard of it when I was a kid. Did you?
Aliens? Yeah.
Yeah, well, alien abductions and the aliens.
Oh, yeah, we watched it on television. I mean, those B-movies, man. The War of the Worlds and the, spaceman movies and
probably more for
Superman.
For Leo, Superman was the only alien that I.
You saw other alien. I mean, you saw these movies in the '50s that came out that are the aliens. I remember a famous Twilight Zone movie that came out, our Twilight Zone episode where everybody was an alien. Right, and the aliens were taking over the world.
Well, and the Catholic Church is always talking about...
It's a movie that came out called They Live.
The Catholic Church
are among us.
About angels, aren't they aliens?
Go ahead.
Aren't they aliens, the angels? The Catholic Church always talked about the Archangel Michael and Gabriel. They're not of this planet.
How about the Book of Enoch? All of the, what do they call them? Aphelim or something?
See, my view was...
Aphelines, yeah.
So my view was, I guess, more positive because I kind of think of, you know, the traditional, like, the angel Gabriel, the archangel Michael. So that's what I think of as a creature from...
Well, they were always like messengers.
Yeah, they were always messengers and very good and helpful.
And then you go into the gods, the Greek gods. You always had Hermes and you had... all of it.
Aphrodite, Mercury, the messenger.
Always appearing before people and playing around with people's lives and screwing around with them. So it's like it's not hard if you go back and look at what happened. I mean if you go back and look at Moses talking to a burning bush, it's like and all the alien stuff. I mean, it could go back. It's just that people didn't call them aliens. They called them because they were so phenomenal. They called them gods. They called them, they worshipped them. They were like so.
So that's how I think.
Even though today, after a million years, or 3,500 years or so, we're like, okay, well, maybe they're just advanced cultures, advanced beings. So now it's time to maybe talk with them, or accept them.
Well, I don't think it was a general topic when we were growing up. That's what I'm saying. I mean, they did talk about it. I remember Long John Neville talking about UFOs, but it wasn't until about the mid '80s, that you heard more and more about aliens and so forth. And
I thought we talked. It was heavy in the '60s, heavy in the '70s,
mm-hmm.
the '80s. You're
probably right, Leo.
People have always wondered, and there's always been these things.
You've never caught my attention, maybe.
Maybe that's what it's about. It caught your attention at that time. I did ask, I don't think you heard me, have there recently been any sightings or that you're aware of? Or has anyone talked about it more at this time?
Well, I've heard more stories, I think, of journalists who have gone, in the norm of radio or media and talked about books or talked about, reviewing their book dealing with the aliens, and how everybody is believing that, it's only a matter of time before the United States acknowledge or the academic community, acknowledges it openly. And
now, you mentioned that other countries have acknowledged it.
Oh, yes, Mexico, Brazil, France, and I think the English openly, admit, that there is other intelligence flying around up there besides our own. But this is just one big media showcasing at this point. We've known about aliens for a good number of years.
Okay. But it was in Hong Kong. I just saw something recently, the last couple of weeks, where there was a sighting, 5 UFO sightings in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the big disc with the lights underneath. The kind that was seen in Chile, the same kind that has been seen. They're very, very large spaceships. There have been very recent sightings. So, I don't know why.
Or what that means.
What it means, but there have been these sightings every year, hundreds of sightings that have been reported.
Yeah,
I personally haven't seen one. And
what about you, George?
I very much was involved years ago with the UFO phenomena.
Did you ever see a spaceship yourself?
Yeah, I've seen crafts up in the sky. It's like satellites. If you look up there, you can see the a number of satellites that cross from north to south, from south to north, and sometimes from the west to the east.
I've seen those satellites as well, on clear nights. But
you don't see them turn 90 degrees.
Have you ever seen a real spaceship? I mean, have you ever seen a with aliens and stuff in it? No, have you seen a spaceship?
I myself, no.
Sure, something.
No.
But, I got to say, back in 1989, there was a UFO special on TV.
Yep.
And what was the fellow? Mike, I'm trying to think, the fellow from MASH.
He
was a narrator or the MC on that.
Uh-huh.
And it was a UFO special, UFO live cover-up. And they talked about different aspects of UFOs with crash retrievals, talked about Roswell and aliens and their technology. And at that time, what caught my attention, I think, is the technology.
Yeah.
Because I was involved with psychotronics and trying to get more of an understanding about some of the Atlantean technology, crystal technology. What fascinated me is that these aliens are some of these gray are gray aliens are known as grays. They use the crystal in their hand, and they can actually transport people, and they could go through walls, and everything was done through this crystal. And also, some of the aliens use crystals manipulation of their ships by having a brain connection with these computer chips, computer crystals. They're able to navigate their ships. But, this is crystal technology, and with this show, it linked, I think, some of the technology with what I was interested in.
Yeah. I think I told you before, but the show that caught my attention most was the Chariot of the Gods.
And yes.
That movie or television show. And I never forgot that because it made so much sense, and that would be the reason for all of these terrestrial maps or things that were that you could only see from the air, these huge like landing sites or you know, and the ancient people understood and guided or helped create these landing sites to for their gods
under the guidance of these extraterrestrials.
Yeah, and it's only things that could have been understood by someone over looking from above, which no one had that kind of technology then on Earth. It wasn't known, but you know, until or building the pyramids or building the all the great wonders, nobody knew how to do that stuff until they were taught from somewhere for somehow.
And some of that we can't even do today.
And even in the Mayan, I don't know, but the Mayan and the Aztec and the Inca societies, their technology for stone building these
extraordinary
roads and these bridges and these temples and these could have only been done through they felt through a laser type of technology in order to get these rocks perfectly smooth and fitting within so that they could exist, so they could last 3,000 years, you know, or more. And so we know, I mean, it only makes sense if you look at it from that point. I mean, I look at it from an open mind that, you know, something beyond our current technology created these things, okay? And if you look through history and you look through recorded history and all of the different phenomenon that people saw and witnessed, and wrote down or created or painted or carved on rocks or something just to show the existence of these things, I think it's beyond the pale or beyond doubt that they do exist. Okay.
Yeah, but Leo, go back to the time, let's say in 1989, we didn't have the understanding that we have now. Well, you know, we can look back at it now and say, oh yeah, without a doubt. And you know, I'm talking about technology that we have now, and yet the technology we had at the time. Because supposedly, out of that flap in 1947 with the Roswell crash, there was technology that was finally released to us years later. And I'm talking about in the 90s that had to do with some of these this involvement with extraterrestrials.
But that's not fully accurate, only because much of all of our space programs, including the Russian programs and the ones in the 60s, were and the rocket science that was created during the 40s, by the Germans, with all this was all discovered through UFO sightings, UFO crashes, or as they say, there was actually a treaty in 1954 with Eisenhower, okay, with alien creatures, okay.
Leo, but, you know, that's true and not true.
What, George?
That's true and not true.
Okay.
That's half truth.
Well, that's kind of like the way all of this crap is. It's like half truth.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
But what's true?
It's all manipulated.
Truth about these alien things. We don't really even know.
Yes, we do, Leo. Yes, we do. And if you study it long enough, you'll see that there's a lot of holes and there's a lot of manipulating that's been going on, very much so. Another thing that this show brought out was the intelligence involvement. In fact, they admitted afterwards that, you know, it was actually intelligent people that were manipulating and actually putting things in the UFO mind the see where it goes or how it's disseminated. And, you know, it was an illusion. But, you know, if nothing else, at that time, it was all of this intelligence, you know, being put into motion. And it was amazing.
Well, let's put it this way, okay? Let's look at it this way. There were certain periods where there was a huge advancements, okay, made. Nobody really knew how they made them. This intelligence suddenly came forward or came out, and we made those advancements. And if you look at 1989 and 1990, that was right at the beginning of the dot-com bubble and the, you know, the internet. And that ended in 2000. And but we're so far
beyond that now. Amazing.
It almost seemed frightening to go back. But you know, the thing that
you're right there. But you know, it had to evolve in a sense of just incorporating, you know, this all alien phenomena into an understanding. And first of all, acknowledging, you know, that our history goes back to life off-planet. And, you know, it's a proven fact from an academic standpoint, but it is not openly admitted.
Well, my greatest fear, and it is a fear, is that if there was some kind of radiation burst from the sun, or some kind of earthquake, or some kind of thing that would disrupt the electromagnetic wavelengths, or the electric wavelengths, or whatever, and upset the entire electric grid. All right, we would be virtually.
Oh, what are you going to do about it? They can't.
Well, no, I mean. If you think of all the stuff, I can't even imagine all the information that could be lost for something like that, you know, and never recovered. Just like destroyed civilizations that, you know, went underwater or were destroyed,
like Atlantis
or whatever.
Atlantis is a perfect example.
All things must come to an end, right?
Well.
Yeah, well, that's the cycle.
Yeah, but, you know...
Yeah. And what do you do when it comes to an end? You start all over again.
Quite frankly, I get very, very tired of dealing with illusion, you know, because it seems to be all that we're dealing with. You know, I have a fact... I mean, there are facts. Things die and things live and things come back. But the fact being is that our civilization today is based on... a technology that is so vulnerable, really vulnerable to attack, or vulnerable to disruption, all right, that anything could go bad. I mean, anything could go down in seconds with just an earthquake or.
But you could say the same. You could say the same thing about anything. You could say that about food. Food could be liable to get disease. There's liable to be a flood. There's liable to be, you know, all kinds of things. Or
if you have a total annihilation, like we were talking about with Goodman the other Jeffrey,
yes,
two weeks ago. If a comet actually hit the size of Mount Everest like it did in the middle of, 25,000 years ago.
You wouldn't have to worry about it too much.
It'd
be incinerated.
Yeah, the whole planet would be wiped out.
A ball of fire.
Well, yeah, or would be
cooked,
you know, cooked or whatever it would be. But then it would be all over. But and that could happen as well. But I don't know. There's so many things I don't understand, George, and what I don't understand, one of the things I don't understand is if there are extraterrestrial alien beings, all right, what are they, where are they, and, you know, if they're here, who are they, all right?
And then what, Leo? And then what?
No, all right? I believe that they...
And then what?
they are here in any real life form, unless you look at
one of the oldest books written is the Bible, and that has some things in it that tells you that there are angels. Those are extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
They weren't too sinister. They were very helpful to man.
Well,
what's wrong with that view?
Somewhere, Satan wasn't.
Well, I
yes, he was, Leo. He was just on the other side. He wasn't on the same side you're on, that's all.
No.
He wasn't on my side.
I'm not on his side.
No, but he was a different angel.
Kidding, we didn't want to mess with that guy. You
know? No.
Lila took the bite, but not me.
Well, he was a comparable adversary, which we needed, and we needed an adversary in order to take our stand. So who's better than to use him?
Why? Who did we have to take our stand against? God?
No, it's just our nature, because we are polarity in motion.
No, I think we were created. We became schizophrenic because of that. we became bipolar. I don't think that we were intended to be, all right? I think that was,
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a guy like, yeah, your house was meant to be white, and some guy wanders around and paints it. And it comes by night and paints it black.
My point was you're getting away from my point. That there was that the most reliable old book is the Bible.
That's not true. Well, a lot of it's just myth.
Well,
a lot of it's like phony myth and poetry.
Well,
it has nothing to do with fact.
Well, what I'm saying is I prefer that image of extraterrestrials.
Lila.
I could have a preference like anybody can. So that's my preference. That's what I think. That's what I think of an extraterrestrial.
All right, but that's not fact.
Yes, it is, Leo. Lila, I can go along with that very easy.
You can't prove that Christ exists, nor can you prove that God exists, nor can you prove that Gabriel or anybody or that anything exists. Okay?
Even the Buddhists have angels in their
tradition. But they can all have angels and stuff like that. But what I'm trying to say is there's no empirical evidence that any of this stuff
exists. Don't you think it's kind of interesting that
it's all faith.
Some different cultures have that same idea, and most of those messengers are kind of helpers. It's a positive view.
Without a doubt.
I think that's
Without
a good
a
thing, personally.
That doesn't mean that they were extraterrestrials. It doesn't mean that they were anything more than just people with a good idea.
If
right?
I could break in here for a minute. And let me continue about 1989 in the Mayan six-night calendar.
Right.
There was a number of sightings over Russia. In fact, there was even a case of a crash retrieval in Russia. And, in 1989 to 1991, there was a hell of a lot of sightings. And, you know, on March 28th in 1989, there was a probe that was sent to Mars, and it was a Phobos 2 satellite, and what it was to do is go and set orbit around Mars and Phobos, the moon, to take pictures.
Right.
Now what happened is that apparently an elliptical object came up to, was viewed on the cameras from the satellite once it set up orbit around Phobos, and something flashed, and the satellite went blank. So apparently, it didn't come out until later on that the Russians were saying that the cameras caught sight of this cylindrical object that approached them, that came, I think, from the Mars surface, and shot at it and destroyed it. So I'm just saying that this was reported by the Russians at that time on something that happened to one of the vehicles there.
So, Brett, since we're at about the same time frame as that segment in the past,
Right.
There's probably things going on that are not being reported to us.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it was it was reported, but not really wider as open as you would think it would be.
Yeah.
But it was reported, yeah. I mean, that's kind of strange stuff. I remember in a lot of sightings and some of the articles that I read, you know, from newspapers or whatever, it didn't have really the Internet at the time, you know, to find
right.
information on. But, you know, there's a lot of things coming out of Europe. And, you know, and I was more interested in what the aliens and so forth looked like. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was more concerned with that. Now, at that time, I was asked to come in on a UFO case, and that was by this Long Island MUFON organization, John Ford.
And what was your part in that?
Well, it, in 1989, there was a UFO crash in Smith Point in Santa Mauritius. You don't hear too much about this, but...
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
And so what happened?
Well, I was asked about that. I was asked about it because of, I think... some of the technology that I was studying, a lot of Tesla devices. And, you know, you go back to Long Island, the RCA fields and so forth. Tesla did a lot of his work, and he also had one of his towers there.
Oh.
And, you know, I think it's just studying some of his work and understanding psychotronics and, you know, dealing with electronics. And that's one of the reasons why I got involved with the Montauk Project. Or kept in touch with the Montauk Project.
Well, go back to that crash. So what was your role in that, and what was discovered?
Well, there was a lot of things that were said about that, and all I can say is that Phil Imbrogno, who wrote a series of books, Night Invaders, Invasions, I think, talked about the extraterrestrials in the Hudson Valley. And apparently what happened is that in following a large craft, now I'm talking about something 1,000 feet in diameter, that came over the Hudson Valley down through Connecticut, over Long Island, and then in Santa Mauritius, or it was really the dunes, the bay before the ocean.
Yeah.
There was some kind of an incident, and this craft stayed stationed in the air for a period of time, and in the dunes itself, there was some kind of a retrieval on a UFO crash or a crash of something.
When you say retrieval, what do you mean by that?
Well, there's a lot of there was some say that it was a crash that was brought down,
uh-huh.
and then it was transported to Brookhaven Laboratories, which was not far, you know, from the Santa Mauritius Bay, and
yeah.
that is a government facility. And you know, I tell you, that's the same area that the Flight 800 went down. More south of southerly than this incident.
Huh. So, and what was your role in this retrieval? What did you do?
Well, this was I had a feeling. I had a friend that gave me a call, and he was able to give me a lot of information and with extraterrestrials and so forth that I didn't know about.
Uh-huh.
And you know, to this day, he was involved with intelligence, you know, but his role I never knew. But he seemed to know things that nobody else knew, and it was right on the money. But
really?
he was more of an empath. I mean, he was like myself. I mean, he a psychic, if you'd want to call it that. But it wouldn't surprise me if he was one of these psychics working for the government. So he told me, and he told me about this incident there, and, you know, to watch out. There was a lot of things connected with that. And, you know, I listened to what he had to say, and I was just following, you know, what happened with that. And my understanding was that there was some kind of a particle weapon beam that brought a craft down. And on the beach, there was a firefight. And there was, I think, 17 people involved, and I think 15 of them were aliens. And it was like a fight between, you know, our country or this alien craft. And it was grays, you know, it wasn't humanoid. And, you know, this was the information that was just passed on to me on it. And, you know, I have to tell you that I stay neutral in all of this information I always have. I don't take sides other than, you know, a story is being told, I listen to it. And from that basically is what I was told.
So who won that encounter?
I really don't know. You know, I really don't know. At this time, you know, why were they there? And, you know, in my understanding that, you know, I mentioned this about the Russians,
mm-hmm.
because the Russians were keen to knowing that some of these aliens are not the good guys, they're the bad guys. And there was a possibility, you know, that this could have been a satellite that came down, a Russian satellite that was shot down.
Yeah.
And you, with government helicopters or black helicopters there, you know, I could understand that.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a firefight with the aliens, it's kind of hard to believe with. But I'm just saying this is like the information that was passed on.
And what were the aliens' weapons? Muskets? You know, if they lost, or what? I mean, they must have had advanced technology. If they
for
crying out loud. And,
yeah, they did.
Beyond our technology, so you would think that they would have just been able to
paralyze everybody and zoom away,
zap everything, and just they wouldn't even have to get out of their spacecraft. They just zap everybody.
Beam up a few guys.
I mean, we have that technology now. We got the microwave zapper that they've already created. They've used in Afghanistan
to fry a few people.
Yeah, what it does is it's simply a microwave ray gun, all right, that microwaves people's, people, and fries their skin.
No, there's more to it than that, Leo.
Better run away.
Much more to it than that.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that what kind of a freaking firefight? It must have been a pretty dumb-looking firefight down there. I mean, if you got an advanced technology, an advanced civilization, all right, against a couple of bozos in '89 with a AK-47 or something, that's about all. That's the best we could come up with then.
Right? No. You're wrong there, Leo. You're wrong.
Well,
we had this technology in the '80s.
What do we have?
We had these particle beam, we had these laser beams. I don't know if they're particle beam cannons or whatever. But we have that. We had that technology. It wasn't as defined as we have it now, but we had it back then.
Yeah, but maybe we had it then, but it was more like, that technology must have been like a blunderbuss, next to what we get now. And if there were actually aliens who came down from space, all right, and invaded Long Island or whatever, the Hudson Valley, all right, then they would have come down with something more than a knife and a spear, They would have had, you think they would have been, they could have been invisible, they could have been.
They could have paralyzed everybody.
Yeah, we look at what. 10, 20 years later, look at the technology we have now. I mean, their technology would have had to have been at least 100 or 200 or 1,000 years ahead of us in order for them to have created a spaceship that could have done intergalactic travel. They were light years ahead of us in technology. So any kind of firefight would have almost been absurd.
Don't you think, George?
No, Leo, because you're understand that we were dealing with these alien crafts and the technology back in the 40s and the 50s. And, you know, a lot of people do believe, you know, that Hitler had some of this anti-gravity understanding and built saucers himself. But, remember Star Wars, Reagan with Star Wars?
Yeah.
Understand, this was part of the Star Wars weaponry that came out of that. I remember there was a hobby club at my high school on the island, and I gave a presentation on UFOs. And what I did do is I brought a 20-minute video of some of these abnormalities in outer space with these particle beams and actually chasing crafts and them scooting away. We have this technology, and, you know, I remember on the island, living on Long Island, for some reason, you know, you would see these giant lightning-like flashes, you know, down in the southeast of the island. And, you know, I often wonder what the hell is causing this. Maybe thunderstorms out to sea? But there's no cloud. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, even for 10, 20 miles out to sea. And, you know, I do believe, you know, it was some kind of a light beam that was being shot up and used. And part of this was part of the explanation, you know, with
– us, or whether it was from another, it's very possible you could have. I mean, let's look at it this way: if there were aliens who visit our planet and you know screw around and you know do whatever, you know, then it makes sense that there would probably be other aliens, okay, who are here, you know, maybe underground or maybe somewhere. Okay, that have these, have the ability or the technology, and are to keep us virtually safe of the other of these invasions. Okay, unless somehow the you know an occasional spaceship enters some time warp or whatever the hell, and manages to land safely on Earth. Okay, at a certain time. Or whatever, but, you know, that could happen. But virtually, you said, back in 1972, there was an extraterrestrial intervention that saved us from the radiation of the sun. We would have all been toast, right?
That's right.
But that was something that you know, some extraterrestrial good guys did for us. Right. Well, what's to say those extraterrestrial good guys aren't living here among us or in underground, let's say, in civilizations because for some reason they can't, you know, be exposed to the sunlight or whatever, but, you know, are thriving within the Middle Earth. That could possibly be. Okay.
Well,
no one
I'd say that is
no one has
happening.
Ever investigated the Middle Earth other than... who's the guy who wrote the book, The Journey to the Center of the Earth, and have been myths and stories forever on that. And we brought that up here on the show before, but about Middle Earth. But, I mean, who's to say there's not another sun or earth or whatever within the earth? It's nobody has ever been that far down into the core. Nobody would know, you know.
Well, Leo, that's what the sixth night is for us to experience, my friend.
Right.
Because when the seventh day starts, it's going to be an altogether different ball game. And we're talking about preparing ourselves for co-creation and being the co-creators of our life and the world around us.
Well,
what
Lungold kept saying about this time period, and he said everybody is going to go out of their minds. All right? People are going to start going crazy, and the only way that you can prevent yourself from going crazy is by trying to stay in the zone, you know, stay being zoned and keeping your perspective and keeping yourself focused, you know, so that you don't go insane.
Mm-hmm.
But he said this is the time period where everybody would start going crazy, and you're seeing that everywhere, George. You're seeing people...
Well,
out of their freaking minds everywhere right now.
Yes, but also look at, you know, the possibilities that are before us. And, you know, I think, you know, this UFO phenomenon, yes, it's coming to a surface, and it's going to be part of our reality, and it will be accepted in a sense. But the other thing that the Mayans talk about is the possibilities now we're going into time travel. And in the seventh day, this is going to be something that we would be able to experience, being able to go forward in time and back in time. And this is part of the experience that we would be able to have. And, you know, that really fascinates me. But, you know, in getting back to, let's say, some of the technology that we had with the pyramids, how we were able to, you know, cut the stones precisely with sound. But, you know, who's to say that, you know, we would be able to do it just by thinking it and producing an energy wave that would actually cut, you know, if you'd want to say cut a stone, you know, in squares and so forth. But we would be able to do it. But we would also be able to levitate. So, you know, the sky is the limit, I think, and the potential is not limited to where we're going in the seventh day, but it's just bringing to an end, you know, this final experience of either way or the UFO phenomena or whatever it is. And,
you mentioned levitate. Yogis in India are able to do that. They're able to walk over hot coals, and they can do all kinds of things that.
Well, the ancient Toltecs did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They used to fly up, jump up mountains and on cliffs, and they used to be able to be five places at the same time. So, you know, this is also written from people from the past were able to do this, but they had the remembrance of being able to do that. And that's what we're just remembering or going back into and experiencing.
Yeah.
We got some fascinating times coming, folks. We really do.
Yeah, well, we sure have a lot to look forward to, don't we?
I can't
imagine what's going to happen. Well, I myself, as I said, have a real positive view of it. And that's what I choose to think will happen. And I want some good knowledge. I want the highest and the best. If someone's going to come, I want a good messenger.
I don't want to break the bubble, but, you know, I got to come back to 1989. Now, there was another incident in 1989 that you'll remember, the Exxon Valdez spill. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And I
remember that very clearly.
Mm-hmm. And look how that correlates with what we experienced this year with a Gulf leak and so forth.
Yep, and the same kind of shenanigans that's really not being attended to. That Exxon Valdez situation, those people, a lot of those indigenous people in Alaska never received any compensation.
They still appear.
There you go. Bingo. What's good about that is now it's being raised to the surface again, Lila. Maybe they would be able to rectify it or change it.
A lot of people suffered badly, and people are suffering in the Gulf region in Louisiana and Mississippi terribly.
Sure.
And they're not being treated very well. It's not their compensation isn't happening the way it should.
Well, let's look at 89 89 is an interesting year. It was a very interesting year for me as well. And personally, but...
Was that the year Lady Diana died?
Died in 97, I think.
97, okay.
But that was later than that, yeah.
But in 89 was a very traumatic year for me, personally. And I remember the energies and I remember the issues of that time frame. But I also remember, because I was selling real estate during that period, as a broker, and I saw the market go right into hell. Just like it is now.
Financially, it was a very tough period.
It's just like it was 2008 and 2009, 2010, no different than the way it was in 88, 89, and 90. We went into a huge recession, all right? And it was really, really rough. And there was some very, 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 very negative energies that traveled through that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're experiencing that again, but the thing that's interesting is that you're now dealing with a major massive recession.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with wars everywhere. And in 1990, or was it 90 or 91, I guess, there was the first Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then and in the 80s, we didn't have a war, but Iran and Iraq had a war that killed a million people,
right,
from both sides. There was, you know, they had these, it was horrible. You had Saddam Hussein and Iraq at that time.
And were the Russians fighting in Afghanistan?
Russia was fighting in Afghanistan.
No, well, they pulled out in 1989.
That's right.
Yep.
They
right.
pulled out of Russia, but they went in there in 1980. I remember
that. Yeah, they were there 10 years. Yeah,
yes.
Almost.
And,
yeah.
But we were. But if you start looking at these issues, at these different historical events, you were seeing them happening again, but just on a different continent. Same places, but with different players. And it's gotten no better. But this incredible energy is coming back. It's
mm-hmm.
back here now. And that, and I think I was talking about this with you before. I can't remember if we did it on a show, but I think it was in a conversation, is that in that time frame, I was like, wow, I think I was like, you know, I just hope that I can harness that energy correctly, instead of how I harnessed it the last time, which was rather devastating, okay,
yeah.
in many ways. But to take advantage of it now and harness that incredible energy, that wave that I experienced then, and be able to harness it for the good. And that would have been that would be my hope now that we can achieve that because we've been through it. But when does it go into 90 and 91 and 92? When will that happen?
Well, this next month, Leo.
Next month.
Because November we're shifting to the seventh day. So, you know, we're turning the corner, and, you know, this period go up to 92. So, well, we're you know, 98, 90 now. So we only got, two more years, a year and a half more. But this will pass in a month. In a month. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do. I do. I do. It's just so fast right now. It's so incredibly fast. And, I see things happening in my life right now that would make sense that it would be, if I compared it to 91 and 92, all right, and even into 93 and so on, those were remarkable, incredible downs and highs, lows and extreme high, and turning points, and then down or up and down. But that was a remarkable period. Between 89 to 92, maybe 93.
Sure. Yeah. It was a closing off the cycle. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a remarkable period for me personally because of the it changed my life because it after that it took it my whole life took a different turn, a totally different turn to what it was prior, and. Changed me forever.
How about you, Lila?
Well, I was just thinking about that time in the late 80s to the 90s. That was a very tough period in my life. Very,
yeah.
very tough.
Very, very tough, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very challenging, that's for sure.
Yeah, but, you know, every time period has its challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does in some way or the other. Some more painful than others. I think that's the journey through life that we have. And
I just wanted to mention, not to interrupt you there, but we've got about a minute left. If anybody wants to call in and join us, we can go on a few more minutes. Let's see, it's you can call 646-915-9505, and we'll be here for a little bit longer. And you got about 18 seconds remaining to the show. But go ahead, Lila, I'm sorry.
I think everybody has their ups and their downs and their challenges in their life, and I think that's what makes us grow or become better people, hopefully.
I agree with you, but, you know, if I had my druthers, I would have rather gone into other areas at that time. Little did I know, you know, the consequences of it. I mean, it was learnful, there's no doubt about it. But I definitely wouldn't pick this this path that I followed. And if nothing else, it was total synchronicity in motion. And, you know, I can go on with this UFO material because at that time I really got involved with it in my life and integrated, I think, with relationships with people. And, to a point where it was an accident in my experiences with people.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that, like I said, if you can harness that energy and recognize that energy flow in our lives now, which you can, I can see definite parallels to that time frame. Since you brought it up, it made it much more clear to me what was happening now. And I'm trying to channel that into a very productive energy, positive energy, you know, constructive energy rather than a negative one. And and I'm hoping that will make a big that power, that energy will take us to a different level altogether. An awakening, or Lila, myself, you, everybody within the reach of this station, of this voice.
Well, everybody,
go.
Everybody
will go. You know, everybody will be able to shoot for the moon.
I think we've all done that. It's all happened.
Yeah.
And I think right now we're just sitting in neutral, and we're just learning the gear patterns, 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And
that's
about to shift into first gear here, but we're all going to shift together. I really believe that. And
yeah.
I think we all made it. But we really have.
We're going to see. And I guess we just have to hope for the best for ourselves and for everybody else.
Yeah, I think at least we got a handle on it.
Yeah, I hope so. Well,
there you go.
At the end of our show anyway, so I'm going to say goodnight, and I hope you have a good remainder of, well, it's the beginning of the weekend. I hope you have a great weekend, George.
Yeah,
well, thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
I'm gonna clean up after this rainstorm that just has.
Oh boy!
I know there's a lot of leaves that came down, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
If you want any budding oak trees, we must have 4 million acorns.
Not all everywhere. They're a nightmare to over here.
So just let me know, and I'll plant a few.
Why? Thank you.
Good night, George.
Good night. I'll be with you, dear.
Yeah.
All right, George. And have a good weekend.
All right, then I'll be in touch with you, my friend.
Okay, guy.
God be with you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight. And I'll thank our guest, George Dixon.
And good night, folks.
And good night, everybody.